the issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Russian hackers targeted a small Texas town. According to CNN, a U.S. cybersecurity firm called Mandiant reported that a cyber attack caused a water tank in Muleshoe, Texas, to overflow back in January. Now, Muleshoe is a small town in the panhandle about 70 miles northwest of Lubbock. The report says a hacking group with ties to the Russian government is suspected of the attack. Muleshoe's city manager told CNN the hackers were able to interact with the water tank by breaking into a remote login system. City officials later replaced that software.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, good afternoon. We covered that story yesterday, so if you heard that, you might say, didn't I already hear you cover that story? We did. We did. We've got some other news for you today, too. That was just a little computer glitch here, and today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened Tuesday night in Ottawa County, Michigan. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. They had a county board meeting there with on invocation by somebody that Maggie's praying for, Satanic Temple of West Michigan. She's been praying for Lucian Greaves. Check out what the Satanic Temple of West Michigan did. Here's what that night sounded like. Listen to this.
Once again, it was packed at Ottawa County's administration building in West Olive for their Board of Commissioners meeting. Commissioner Rebecca Curran handing out cookies with the Bible verse John 3:16 written on the packaging. Others with signs protesting what was scheduled for the beginning of the meeting. A representative from the Satanic Temple of West Michigan giving the invocation at the beginning of Tuesday night's meeting. The idea to give anyone the opportunity to sign up to give the opening invocation at the board meeting was announced by Board Chair Joe Moss. The decision came after a religious discrimination lawsuit was filed against the board. Although many people living in the county disagree with Tuesday's invocation, Kristen Kelly, wife of Nathaniel Kelly, whom commissioners voted to replace the county health officer, says she approves of the idea, stating that it gives people a chance to use their First Amendment rights.
Although I may have personally disagreed with it, I will always stand for people to have their First Amendment rights upheld.
I was hoping to play the audio of the exchange, and apparently I didn't have that. My audio guy didn't grab the right piece of audio for me. I'm starting to show off a little rough with you today, aren't I? You should have heard them shouting, "Hail Satan, Hail Satan." And then, of course, and that's what happens when you praise the great divider, right? A lot of division there. Then on the other side, you could hear the exchange. And Maggie, see if we can find it. Maybe we'll play it for them later. I guess Jake might have pulled the wrong one, unless there's another clip that you have there. They began to sing praises to Satan, basically, right? It's just terrible. And then I won't go through what they said, but then you hear in the chaos, right? In this room, there was an overflow crowd that descended into all this chaos, and you heard one man saying, "Jesus be glorified in this place. Jesus be glorified, the name above all names." And you hear this huge, as shouts of "Hail Satan" were put up, others were saying, "We love Jesus. We love Jesus." Others in the packed foyer of that conservative, in that complex there, they toted signs that read, "Satan has no rights in one nation under God." Mayhem ensued. Maggie's found a little bit of the audio. Check this out.
"It is done. Hail Satan.
See, how does this happen in this country where we have got people praising Satan, right? We got, and that's how I should say Ottawa, really. Ottawa, Michigan is where it happened. And I got to pray that this nation, you know, found it, I believe, on Christian principles, on the principles, of course, of virtue, respect for the other person. You see this type of dissent is terrible. But, I think Satan is very active today. Shouts of "Hail Satan" were met with, of course, people who were shouting, "We love Jesus. We love Jesus." So there was a member of the Satanic Temple of West Michigan who delivered this invocation to start the meeting. Now, I've spoken to a lot of exorcists over the years on this program. I do not want to invoke Satan. I do not want to conjure demons. I do not play around with divination or mediums. I do not believe in Ouija boards or tarot cards. And I think if you start a meeting invoking the Great Divider, there's going to be problems that ensue. That's what's going to happen. But I love the guy that got up there and said, Jesus be glorified in this place. Jesus be glorified, the name above all names. And it was a battle of prayer. But, pray for our country. Pray for those who are so misguided. Maggie, of course, has been praying for Lucian Greaves, who is the head of the Church of Satan. Maggie, is he the head of the Satanic Temple or the Church of Satan?
He is the head of the Satanic Temple.
And you've been praying for him on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It looks like we have a good call online.
Sure, let's go. We'll go to Chicago. Pete, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Pete.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Drew. Happy birthday, dear Drew. Happy birthday, dear Drew. Happy birthday, my man.
Phil Flynn, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. A little birdie told me that somebody's a year older today.
How'd that word get out? I mean, how do people know it's my birthday? Try to keep it on the down low.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? We should make it a national holiday. Are you kidding me? I'm surprised I even went to work today.
That is so funny.
Happy birthday, my man.
Thanks. Well, hey, Phil, how's your niece doing? We prayed for her yesterday. We're going to continue to pray for her. What's the latest with her?
I thank you. The latest is great. I just got a text for her, and she thanks everybody for praying. She says the prayers are making her feel better. She had a surgery yesterday, and, crossing her fingers, she's taking some antibiotics, and the brain, hopefully the brain stuff will do much better. So it's a miracle. So we'll keep praying. I really thank you guys. And thank you for all the work you do, Maggie does, Relevant Radio. And I just feel bad. I don't sing as good as Father Rocky.
You know, it's so funny, Phil, you said that. I was just sitting here when you were singing. I said, he sings pretty good. You don't want to hear me sing.
I want to hear you sing. I think Father Rocky needs to put out his old CD.
He loves to sing
Catholic songs or something. So
he'll sing it anytime. Hey, I want you to stop by the studio when you get a chance to. We'd love to have you here for Mass in the Chapel of the Proclamation. We have lunch and you come on the air with us here. I'd love to have you here. I know you've been busy. I saw the GDP today. I know Phil Flynn, by the way, if you're not sure, he's senior market analyst at the Price Futures Group. He's a contributor to Fox Business News too. And he often joins us to provide some analysis on energy and commodity markets and things like that. What's your take on the economy and this whole GDP?
It was kind of a slap in the face, Drew. You know, kind of reminded me of stagflation. I felt like I should bring out my white ties and disco music again, but definitely a kind of a shock to the system. But for the stock market, it actually kind of bounced back later in the session. You know, I think people kind of broke the report apart and realized that maybe some of the slowing growth was temporary. It had to do with imports and exports and adjustments. But, you know, Drew, I'm concerned. Inflation's a problem for most of your listeners. It's a real pain. And, you know, I really hope that, we start making policies that reverses that. And it starts in Washington. We've got to stop spending so much darn money.
Yeah, no kidding. And these geopolitical events that are unfolding, I know I don't have you here. I don't want to take all your time. I'm just curious. How do you see them all playing out? You know, with Ukraine, you've got the Middle East, you've got Taiwan, you've got these other things. How's that playing into what we're seeing right now?
It's definitely playing into the oil market. And, you know, I've said it before, Drew, you know, the risk to global oil supplies really is the most acute it's been probably in my lifetime, or at least, you know, since the Arab oil embargo. Because wherever you look, you know, the tensions between Russia and Ukraine attacking that, the obviously, the Israeli conflict and the potential direct conflict with Iran could impact the flow of oil supplies. And that could potentially add to price spikes and inflation. So, you know, I think one of the best things we can do for that is continue to listen to Relevant Radio and keep the prayers going, because I think we're going to need some divine intervention, hopefully, to calm down the world.
But, you know, I say it all the time, and I ask people, I hope I don't sound like a broken record, but I think it's so critical that we do pray. I believe prayer changes things. I'm a big believer in prayer. Spend time with the Lord every day, and it's not just in our personal world, but I think, you know, those prayers resonate globally, and God brings peace. He brings conversion. He brings change. He can bring healing. And we've seen it many, many times. So, Hey, Phil, thanks for calling in. Thanks for making my day. I appreciate it. You made me smile.
Enjoy your birthday, and God bless you, and thank you for all you do.
God bless you. That's Phil Flynn. He's, as I said, senior market analyst for the Price Futures Group, a great friend of the program. He prays a chaplet with us every day here. And pray for his niece. She's now recovering. Pray for Phil, and I'm very grateful to call him a contributor and a friend of our program. And, you know, my mother, years ago, she passed away, but she would do the same thing. She'd surprise me and would call up and wish me happy birthday. And I just thought it was great to hear Phil do that. I try to keep it on the down low, right? It's like, move along. Jack's in Roseville, Illinois, or Roselle, Illinois. Hi, Jack. Good afternoon.
It's your brother from another mother.
That's John Morales. John, how you doing?
Brother Drew.
How are you, brother? The host of Morning Air.
I thought I'd get you there with the deeper voice, but to no avail.
No, John, you know, there is another guy who always calls up and, you know, I called him a brother from another mother once. And whenever he calls in now, he's like, hey, it's your brother from another mother. But you're like a brother here. You and I go way back to the very beginning of Relevant Radio, to those very early years. You were one of the first broadcasters on the network. I joined in 04, and it'll be 20 years this year, so it's been a lot of time you and I spent together, and it's great to call you a colleague.
I so much appreciated it, Drew, and just want to wish you a super, super happy birthday. And I know a lot of people have many great wishes for you. And, you know, as I was thinking about giving you a ring, I was reminiscing back to the first time that you and I actually met, as you came in from Philadelphia with your car just filled with stuff, ready to start a whole new voyage here in the Chicago area.
That's right. I stopped in Chicago. You and I met a friend there, and I think we made a visit to St. Stanislaus Kostka. The church exactly. Right there with Father exactly. Anthony Bush. I remember that on my way up to Green Bay, where our network headquarters were at the time. And that was...
And I had actually been a guest on your previous show.
Yeah, I was an East Coast guy my entire life. Ended up moving to the Midwest. I thought, man, that's going to be a big change. But you know what? Raising a family in the Midwest has been a great thing. I've really enjoyed a lot of the different cities that we've lived in. John, you have been a broadcaster for a long time here. It's always good to have you on the air with us. And I know in Morning Air, you do just a phenomenal job. How many years you've been with the network total?
Well, let's see. I've kind of lost track.
Was it 2000?
In the beginning and five in the latest incarnation. So eight plus. And
but you were here when? In 2000 with Jeff Cavins?
Well, actually in 2003 when we launched the network. We just celebrated 21 years of Morning Air just last week. So time just flies when you're having fun. But I want to just tell you that not only are we colleagues, but I'm also a fan of your show. You know, I've told you so many times, you keep me plugged in the afternoon as I'm prepping for the next day's show. I pray with you and Maggie during the chapel in the afternoon.
That's awesome.
So many times, praying with the two of you while I'm waiting to pick up my son from school.
Well, John, keep up your good work. I get the privilege of you and I attended Mass together today. So thanks for also making my day, wishing me that happy birthday. Great to have you here.
Absolutely. Many, many blessings, Brother Drew.
All right. I will catch happy up birthday. With you, Johnny. Thanks. That's John Morales, Morning Air. You can check him out every morning. He anchors the morning drive, and it's always good to have him here with us. It was nice to hear from both Phil and from John calling in to wish me a happy birthday. A couple of people had sent me some emails. I'm like, how did the word get out? You know, I'm not really even super active on Facebook or places like that. You know, we have a show page, but that's about it. But it's great to be here. You know, I was born, this is the Feast of St. Mark, actually. And the gospel reading today was a great one, too. And it talked about proclaiming the word of God to all nations, going out, making disciples of all these nations. And I think it's interesting how God works, doesn't he? He has a mission for all of us in life. And if you look back across the span of your own lifetime, you could see some very pivotal and hallmark moments. And I've seen them in my own life many, many times. So God's got a plan. Maggie wants me to sneak in one more. Bill? Bill is in Chicago. Bill, good afternoon.
Hi there, Mr. Drew. I just wanted to tell you that one time I was... I called my mother and I said, Mom, it's my birthday coming up. And she goes, She goes, I remember it better than you do. So I just want God bless your mother for bringing you to term. I know that
great.
You were born at a very young age.
Yes, I was.
And God bless you on this Feast of Humility today for being humble.
It is a Feast of Humility, too. I'm glad, by the way, Bill is not really Bill. That voice you probably recognize, that's Dr. Bob Tabale. And this is great. I love you guys. Thank you all for calling in and being so kind. Bob and I had dinner last night, actually. It was great to see you last night. But, you know, Bob, it was funny. I'm sitting in church today. I'm listening to the readings. And you're right. We should all be praying for that virtue of humility. And it is the Feast of Humility. Such a great virtue to possess if you want to grow in the holy, in holiness and in sanctity, for sure, in the saintly life. How are you holding up, Bob? It's good to have you here outside of talking infectious disease.
I'm doing well. I'm actually renovating a house right now, so that's what I'm doing today.
How's your shrine coming along?
Well, working hard on that. You know, we're going to have another of our annual symposium on the loss of innocent child life this fall.
Awesome.
And we're still working hard to get the website up. It's been a very difficult many situations to get things done. You know, I hope that's a sign that it's the Lord's work, you know, having so much difficulty coming into fruition. But it's as you know, it's a place dedicated for the memory of children who've lost their lives through abortion, miscarriage, illness or trauma in their age of innocence. And it's really for the survivors to allow people who've suffered that to, you know, if they've caused it, to approach mercy and to have mercy encounter them.
Well, you wonder why you're running into so many problems, right? Satan hates what you're doing. Hates it with a passion. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in a spiritual battle. One day it'll be done. You got a great story to tell. Great story to write. Relevant Radio has its own story. Same thing. We almost didn't make it. And, you know, I've shared with you many times in private how St. Faustina writes in her diary, the greater the work, you know, the more beautiful the work, the more violent the storm that rages against it. So good to have you here, Bob. Thanks for all you do. We'll have to talk about your symposium at some point in time. I know that you host that in November, and you've had some great speakers there in the past. And yeah. I hope you get a great turnout this year as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
God bless
you. Dr. Robert Tabale, Dr. Bob Tabale right there. All right, I've got to change gears. There's a lot I wanted to get to. I was, you know, Phil Flynn surprised as he kind of kicked this day off. Great contributor to the program. You know, the GDP report was an amazing, it was an amazing, it's the wrong way of putting it. It was a surprising report. And, you know, the GDP rose only 1.6% in the first quarter of this year. A lot of economists thought it was going to be a lot higher. They thought it was going to be 2.4% increased. And that news, combined with continued inflation, as Phil was pointing out, hit the markets hard today because investors are now concerned about the Federal Reserve not lowering interest rates, as the Fed chairman has indicated many times they would. So we'll see what happens. A lot going on at home. A lot going on abroad, a lot going on in the Mariani household, right? A lot going on in your world, I'm sure. And I wanted to share with you one other story here with Bill Patenaude, who's also been a great contributor to the program. I've been following something, you know. I don't know how to approach it. It causes me some concern. There's a new study that's been published in the journal National Geoscience. They found what was called forever chemicals, and these are probably, you've probably been exposed to them. There are a lot more places in the world than scientists have previously known. They found that many of those places that have these forever chemicals, they now have very high and unsafe levels of toxins. There was a map attached to the article that I saw, and it showed these high concentration of chemicals all along the East Coast, the Upper Midwest, the West Coast, and the manufacturing giant 3M, they finalized a $12.5 billion settlement with the public water suppliers over allegations that they've been dumping these chemicals into the public waterways. You wonder why so many people are battling cancer and having these other problems. Suburban cities like, there's a plant in St. Paul, Minnesota, they're especially feeling the impact. And the company has admitted, or they've committed, I should say, to ending the use of these chemicals. But 3M denied on their website there's any link between the chemicals and cancer. So I just want to make sure that's clear. A new Italian study shows a link between them and cardiovascular disease and kidney and different types of kidney cancer and testicular cancer, amongst others. But I've invited Bill Patineau to join me today just a quick update on this story. He personally spent 33 years in environmental management for the state of Rhode Island, has a master's in theology, and he's always able to look at these things through the framework of our Catholic faith. I think that's important. It's good to have him back with us again. Bill, thanks for joining me. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. It's an honor to be on your birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Drew.
Thank you. Many
blessings.
Thank you very much, Bill. I do appreciate that. You've been a longtime contributor to this show, too, so I feel like you're family. Appreciate that. But these forever chemicals, fill people in on what they are and you know how they may have been exposed to them, because I know they were in everything from cookware to possibly even our waterways now, but fill us in.
Yeah, sure. So forever chemicals is a sort of an umbrella term for a family of chemicals called, shortened to PFAS, perfluoroalkyl substances, they're called. And there's two main, and the chemistry lesson is just one more sentence and then I'll be done with chemistry.
Sure.
But the two main components of that are chemical called PFOS, perfluoroalkane sulfonate, and PFOA, perfluoroalkanionic acid. And those are the two that are of most concern in this family of chemicals called PFAS that were developed and begun to be developed in the 1930s and throughout the 40s and certainly during the 50s and 60s, all throughout the 20th century. Used extensively by accident or design for new products, from waterproofing, Scotchgard, mm-hmm. from nonstick cookware in cosmetics, making sure that our food doesn't stick to our food bags and our food packaging, firefighting foam. So in one way or another, these chemicals have been slowly introduced into the environment. So it's not necessarily companies dumping these chemicals into waterways, et cetera, as it is we're using these chemicals. Yeah. They're entering our bloodstream directly, or we're wasting them down into the wastewater systems. And when firefighters use them, or when airports use them, when the military uses them for major fires, they go into the natural environment. So they've been building up for a long time. And as the name insidiously reminds us, they don't go away quickly. They stay around for a while.
Yeah, no, it's frightening. I know that I was reading a little bit about some of the studies that have been done, and what they found is both compelling and concerning. 70% of some of the samples exceeded Canada's standards for PFAS. The Midwest, New England, the West Coast, they've got high concentrations. And I know that 3M has kind of settled all this, but are we going to see this manifest in health concerns for Americans in the days ahead?
So I'm taking a slightly different approach to this. Having been in government and having understood how government comes up with numbers and yeah. how government can be influenced by advocates, environmental advocates, I'm not as concerned right now. Yeah. I mean, maybe someday the science sure. will be there to prove definitively that we're all doomed. Yeah. But PFAS is in every human being on the planet
wow.
and has been for a while.
Wow.
I mean, to some degree or another. And, you know, I mean, yeah, people get sick, but if it was as dire as some people would want us to think it is, we would have more people being ill.
Yeah.
Certainly a concern. Certainly there are ways that we can, you know, filter out on any number of contaminants in our home drinking water with home filters and all that.
Well,
but I'm not as concerned as I think some people are making this out to be.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Mike's in New Jersey. He's got a quick question for you. Mike, good afternoon.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. You know how it is for a Giant fan to have to even sing part of that song, but what I got to do for a guy's birthday, I'll do it.
That's hilarious. And this is John Sitar. I'm sorry. Peter Grandage. I don't know why I said John Sitar. I don't know where that came from. Another Giant fan friend of mine. Peter, I got sandbagged by you. I saw your comment was here about the water you were drinking for Bill. Thank you for saying that.
For Giant fans, the last few years we've had to drink strange water. So
that's so true. Are you concerned at all about the water you're consuming there in Jersey?
Most definitely. And I have to tell you, we used to say, well, glad I don't have well water, but even the water that's being treated now is having a lot of issues. So is a big issue here in New Jersey. But hey, listen, happy birthday. Enjoy this one, because once you hit 6-0, it's all downhill.
Yeah, I know. I'm not there yet. Hey, Peter, thank you very much. And Peter, I'm looking forward to doing your podcast. Yeah, it looks.
All right,
I know.
God bless you.
We'll catch up soon. Thank you. That's Peter Granich. You can check him out at petergranich.com, too. Another great contributor to the program.
I was wondering how I was going to respond to that. I didn't know what that was all about.
Well, you know, my call screeners are messing with me today. So I way it works for those who don't know how it works in this radio business. I've got a call screen, and on the call screen comes the name of the person that's calling, the city they're from, and sometimes just like, you know, comment about the water, question for the guest about this or whatever. So I don't really know what the person's going to say, but they give you a little write-up. The bank's like, oh, take line two. So I said, okay, right. We're talking about PFAS. This will be perfect, right? And it's John. It's Peter Grandage and Phil Flynn and John Morales. It's been great. It's been fun. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. People want to learn more about this stuff. What's the best thing they do?
I would say, I mean, there's a lot of information on the EPA website. I think they'll be adding more as time goes on. I am not confident that there's enough information about there that are providing both sides right now. So eventually I'm going to have to write about this on my blog, Catholic Ecology.
And how do people read that? Is there a way to connect?
CatholicEcology.net. I'm just starting up the blog after a little bit of a hiatus, and I think this is the issue that has to do that, because it's an important one. I think people are scared. It's good to be concerned about it, but I think a lot of people are overly concerned at this point, given the state of the science as I understand it now.
Yeah, you know, we always, like, I just want truth. You know, I don't want hype. I don't want to scare people. If there's something that's unhealthy for us, we need to be aware of. Great. If it's nothing to be concerned about, then that's great too. So write about it. I know your book, A Printer's Choice, that's still available too, right?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I'm working on the sequel.
Oh, you're really good. I can't wait till that comes out.
It's about a radio host whose birthday doesn't go the way he plans.
It's going to be a bestseller. I'm telling you right now. Who would want to read about that, right?
I would. Drew, happy birthday. God bless. Thank you so much.
Bill, thanks so much. I appreciate making time for me always. That's Bill Pattenaud. Check out his book, A Printer's Choice. You can do a quick search for it as well. And it is fun. I mean, Maggie, thank you. Patrick, thank you. And everyone who's been calling in, thank you very much. I try to keep my birthdays, as I say, sometimes on the down low. It's kind of hard to do that today, isn't it? I have to take a short break. Let me just tell you what's coming up so you can stay with me. We got a lot to get into today. If you have somebody battling addiction, do not touch the dial. You're going to want to hear about this. There's a place in our own country, there's a place around the world where they are incorporating faith, and the miracles that are taking place there are off the charts. In addition to that, I came across a strange thing about supposedly giants being found here in the United States. It made me think of what was said in Scripture about the Nephilim, about Goliath, about some of the other giants. Were these figurative or were they literal? We'll take a look at the giants of the Old Testament coming up. We'll talk consecration, so much more. We've got a great mix of programming for you today. I hope you can hang out with me in the chapel. It's about 30 minutes away. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the Brooklyn Bridge, Drew Mariani is on your radio now. Your life connected. Coast to coast,
coast to coast
on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Hey, I want to do you a favor and plug you in to a phenomenal resource. I don't know if you have a loved one that's struggling with addiction. If you do, maybe it's by God's providence you're listening to me today. You know, I had come across a beautiful organization called Comunità Chinacola, and Chinacolo, I should say. It was originally bumped into in a place called Medjugorje over in former Yugoslavia, now Bosnia-Herzegovina, but they have their sites here. And I had a friend whose son battled addiction. He spoke very openly about it on the air. Could not find recovery anywhere he went, and eventually hit rock bottom and was open to going to this community located in Florida. And the conversion, the radical change, the liberation, and the healing that this man experienced is off of the charts. It's amazing. The father could not be more happy. Now, the father suffered a lot. He was an attorney, a judge. He prayed a lot for his son. And God's grace ultimately prevailed. And I was thinking about it today. I mean, drug abuse in our country, it's on the upswing. We recently heard reports that China actually is subsidizing research on fentanyl. Right? Can you believe this? We really are at an undeclared war with China. They're subsidizing research on fentanyl that helps companies get the drug over here to our own country using, of course, our porous open border down on the south. And when you consider that as of last year, 12 and older, the number they had, half of the people 12 and older have had used illicit drugs at least once in their lifetime. I mean, 12 years old? That's crazy to me. They're almost hard for me to believe. More than 13% of Americans used drugs in the previous month, 4% increase over 2022. And on top of that, drug overdoses in the last 23 years have now topped 700,000. They're on the rise. And those deaths are put in a category called deaths of despair, people who felt that they had no other way out. They simply lost themselves in the haze of these ingested chemicals. And those deaths have been especially on the rise with the advent of the smartphone and, of course, with social media, with the pandemic, with the rise in anxiety and depression, with fentanyl, right, with so many other things. Well, there's a program that's trying to help so many of these young men and women overcome addiction and who get caught up in this culture lie. And they are known as the Community of the Cenacle. It was established in Italy by a woman by the name of Mother Elvira Petrozzi. And it has since grown to several communities around the world, including here in the U.S. And I've invited Sean and Elaine Corrigan, who serve together as Servants of Hope. And they've been associated with with Chinakala for about 25 years. And they live and they work in the community for about 6 years, living in, as I said, in Medjugorje, in Italy, Brazil, and here in our own country. And right now they hail from St. Augustine, Florida. And there's a community down there. We are more than glad to hear your story. If you've been through the process there and you want to testify to how it helped you, please feel free to do that. If you feel like there's no hope, feel free to give us a call too, because there is hope. The number's 888-914-9149. Great to have you both with us today. Sean, Elaine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're so blessed to be with you. Thank you for having us on.
I bumped into several people. I know Father Charlie Becker, Joanne Ranalos, a number of people who have been down to your place. They speak very highly of it. I've seen the fruit of it. I said I had a couple friends whose children battled addiction, and they had the grace of this experience. Fill everyone in. I know when someone battles with addiction, they'll pay a lot of money to go to a place to try to get help, or they try different treatment centers, but addiction seems so powerful. The chain seems unbreakable and people continue to fall into those habits. What is it that you do that is so different that is really setting people on the path to recovery? And just fill us in on everything from your history to your methodology.
Awesome. Okay. So Comunitas Chinakala is super unique in the sense of like how we approach addiction. We are a Catholic community and we don't charge, you know. So the first thing would be we live completely on divine providence. So when someone comes and seeks help from us, there's no fee. You know, it's done out of complete charity. Mother Elvira did not want to exploit anyone who was suffering. She wanted to meet them with complete love, you know, and that the first thing an addict would recognize is that she wasn't asking anything from them. The parents that come with the addicts, we do ask that they journey with their son or daughter and try and embrace the teachings of the community, which is really, you know, the gospel lived in a radical way. You mentioned the depths of despair, and that was something that was like piercing Mother Elvira's heart. Mm-hmm. She would actually hear cries of the youth while she was in Eucharistic adoration.
Wow.
And so she received a call within a call, and the call was tested. It took quite a while before she was given permission to actually open the doors of Comunitat Chinaclo. And at that point, when she did in 1983 on the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Providence provided an abandoned villa was given to her, and the first guys came to her for help.
Wow.
And it just kind of grew from there. Now we have 74 homes throughout the world. Our latest home was just opened last week in Colombia. And it's moving. She passed away. She was born into eternal life last year on August 3rd, and we've been seeing incredible miracles since.
Wow. I think it's such
her work goes forward. Yeah,
it's I think, you know, I often I say, who's a good patron saint of addiction? Because if you have somebody who's battling addiction, you feel powerless against it. You really do. Mm-hmm. As a parent, as a brother. As a sibling, as a spouse, and whatever the dynamic is, you just, as a child, I mean, you just feel like there's nothing you can do. And I know St. Maximilian Kolbe's often credited mm-hmm. with that, because he was put to death with carbolic acid mm-hmm. before he was put in the ovens of Auschwitz. But I think Mother Elvira, she's going to be a great intercessor, you know, for this particular cause. What kind of fruits are you seeing from her intercession, and fill us in on like some of these cases. Give me a story or two. I am sure a lot of guys go there, a lot of girls go there. They don't want to be there, perhaps. So what happens to the person that want to go there? How transformed are they? Like I said, this friend of mine whose son went, didn't want to go. When he finally hit rock bottom, the father says, there's nothing else I'm going to do for you. Either you go here or, you know, you're on your own. And he went, and it was the adoration. It was the rosary. It was the faith component that really fortified him. But share some of your success stories. And if you're seeing the fruits of Mother Elvira's intercession, I'd love to hear that too.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. So I could definitely attest to the witness of Comunitat Chinaclo myself, because I encountered Comunitat Chinaclo back in 1999 on a last-ditch effort to Medjugorje. Battling addiction, had gone to several rehabs, psychiatrists, detoxes, really had done the round, I guess we could say. Mm-hmm. And I was desperate, and my family, my wife, they did not know what to do. So in God's providence, we encountered Mother Elvira and her community in Medjugorje, and realized that there was one in America, in Florida. And at that time, I was, you know, I came back, I relapsed yet again. And by the grace of God, found Comunitat Chinaclo in America and entered unwillingly. I didn't want to go. I wanted to go, hey, 30 days, I said. You know, I was always trying to bargain and, you know, not commit to it, because I didn't want to. I didn't want to change, because I was so addicted and in the throes of addiction.
Yeah.
But there was a grace there. And I entered, and of course, ended up staying 6 years, renewed our wedding vows in the community. And
What was your addiction, Sean? I mean, what were you battling? Was it drugs, alcohol? What was it?
Yes, it was drugs, heavy drugs, hard drugs, intravenous use, and painkillers. And definitely, I was told by doctors to stay on methadone for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's what they told me 25 years ago.
Wow.
And I'm here to say that, you know, that there is a way out. There is a way out.
I have a friend who did heroin, too. I think he's on methadone or Suboxone or one of those drugs. And, yeah, I really should recommend this to him. He seems to be okay right now, but I think the big thing with addiction, and I'm sure you could probably speak to this, and I think there's a spiritual element that's often overlooked. You know, you can go to treatment centers, you can detox, you can do all these different things, deal with therapists. Not that any of those are bad. I think they're all very important. But I think there's a spiritual element. I think the Eucharist is healing. I think Our Lady and devotion to her really helps defeat the evil one. Let's talk for a moment just about the spiritual component to finding healing and freedom from addiction, because I think that's the key to the success that your organization is seeing. That's why God is blessing it and it's expanding everywhere.
Absolutely. One of the Eucharistic adoration is, in fact, the way out of addiction. Like you said, so many other programs and rehabs, they might treat you physically, but Comunitat Chinaclo treats us spiritually. Physically as well, because it's long-term. Mother Elvira always said there was 1 year for the physical, 1 year for the emotional and 1 year for the spiritual, right? Of course, you're being fed 3 years for the spiritual as well, but it's that nocturnal adoration that we do.
Oh,
it's
wow.
That adoration that we do when we choose it, right? There's times we're told in community life to pray, and then there's times when you wake up with someone else, you make a commitment where you wake up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. to make that commitment to stay in front of the Lord, even if you're not saying anything.
Yeah.
There's healing there for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we know that to be the truth for sure.
Hey, I've got to take a quick pause. So stay with me, okay? When we come back, we'll grab a few calls. I'm joined today by Sean and Elaine Corrigan. And I just feel moved to get you plugged into a beautiful ministry that can help you find freedom and healing from addiction. And this is an organization, as you've heard, that is now 74 houses worldwide, spreading across the country, and it's a corporation. I think the real key to it really is the spiritual dynamic in this. So if you're at the end of your rope and you can't find relief or freedom, you're worried about where your child is going to end up, feel free to join us. I only have them for maybe 10 more minutes, but if you want to get in, I'll give you the telephone number to call to. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. It's always good to be here with you. Stay with me. We'll be back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio. Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I'm not holding a small cup, Drew. I'm handing holding an extra large cup.
A bucket.
Every weekday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, Chaplet is T-minus 10 minutes away. It'll be great to pray with you. Let's pray that God will give us the grace to rise above those proclivities to sin, to break the chains of our addiction, to find healing for those wounds. And I want you to know that happens every day. God is an intimate part of your life. He hears your prayer. So we will pray in 10 minutes. I'm glad to talk about a community that has 74 houses around the world. There's some here in the States. And I forget what I came across. There was something that made me say, look, I really want to share this with everyone. I know, like, my father was an alcoholic. I often share that story. And it was through prayer, it was through the grace of God that he found liberation and total healing. So I can testify to the fact that God can heal, he can liberate, he can restore, and he can set anew. I personally want you to know that, right? And there are many other people who will testify to that as well. With God, all things are possible. This community known as Chinakwala is often described as a school of life, and it's more than a rehabilitation center. It's a place where young people, they rediscover the beauty of a Christian life, and there's prayer, there's work, there's communal living. And it's a very unique community, and the fruit of it has just been off the charts. And I've invited with us today Sean and Elaine Corrigan, and it's great to have them with us. Sean has been through this process, and they've been helping others rise above these same challenges. And it's good to have you both with us. Let's jump right into the phones. We only have a few minutes. We'll go to Larry, who's in Hammond, Indiana. Larry, hi. You're on the air with Sean and Elaine. Good afternoon.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
So I was hoping you guys could kind of talk addiction from a child's standpoint. My dad has been smoking himself to death and drinking himself to death for the past 27 years of my life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It really picked up when my parents got divorced, but it was a problem before. It was just a little harder for me to see because it happened when I was young. And my dad is finally kind of at a breaking point where it seems like he might be willing to kind of change. And it's just hard because I don't really have any good outlets. I just started a business for myself. I don't have the time. I feel really guilty that I'm not there.
Oh, man.
Mm. Well, right now, Larry, we can pray for your father, you know, through the intercession of Mother Elvira. She's with us even more than she ever has been. She can hear you and intercede for you. You know, we never want to enable an addict. Now you're an adult, you know, in a relationship with your father. So it's always encouraging them to get the help that they need. And different people are called to different forms of help. Obviously, we have a very unique program. my advice would be, you know, to love your father and not enable him, and have like a really clear, firm discussion with him. Sean, do you want to speak to
that? I believe also too, Larry, yeah, we'll definitely be praying for you, but I think we encourage you to visit our website and to contact the local Servant of Hope so we can talk more offline about this and kind of help you give some tools that we've learned over the years, you know, over the 40 years that community's been around, ourselves just 25, but we'd love to talk offline and help you out for sure.
Yeah. Let me give you that website right now because other callers might want it as well. It's www.chinacolo.org. And we also have another way that you can get onto that website that might be easier for Americans, www.hopereborn.org.
Hopereborn.org
is an easy way to get on as well. And I'll also throw out a phone number, 904-377-5425. And we could talk to you more, Larry, about that. And definitely check out our website.
Larry,
could you repeat that phone number for me?
Yeah, please? It's 904-377-5425. 904-377-5425. Hey, Larry, I'll pray for you. I promise. My heart goes out to you. I know what it's like. You're 27 years old. Your father's struggling with addiction. And I just want to speak to you personally. I've been where you were at, and I know that God is bigger than any addiction. I've seen it with my own father. He lived the last 15, 20 years of his life totally free from his addiction. And he was, I really believed, healed in a miraculous way. So there is hope there. Don't give up. Keep praying for your father. Call that number, and I know they'll be able to help you off air, okay?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you guys.
You got it. Appreciate you.
Bye. God bless you, Larry.
Maria is in New Jersey. Maria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I wanted to know if this facility or accepts MICA patients or per people, MICA being mentally ill and chemically addicted. Mm.
Thank you for your question. Right now, our community only serves those that have addiction problems. We don't use any medication, and we don't have therapists. It's addicts helping addicts. And it's just not set up for like a dual diagnosis. We are praying that someone like Mother Elvira will be inspired to open a community for people who have two different issues going on.
So how do you guys do it? I mean, is it divine providence? I know that's how it began. Mother started this in prayer. And again, I'm just one. Those who are just joining me now, we're going to pray the chaplet in a few minutes. The fruit of what you have done, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you. The healing and the transformations and the new beginnings have been off the charts. And I really think that's because of that work, prayer, community, lifestyle that you got going on there. But if somebody wants to come or have their child or their loved one or they themselves want to participate in it, how do you get selected? Is there a cost? I mean, what's involved in all this?
Yeah, there is no cost. We live totally 100% off divine providence. So all we ask is that they go to our website, like Elaine just mentioned, and on the website you'll see how to enter. And then in there we have broken up into different regions throughout the country that you can contact what we're called Servants of Hope, which Elaine and I are here for Florida. So depending on where you are in the country, you contact that local Servant of Hope, and that'll bring you to the next step. We kind of go through a small interview process. And then once we go through the interview process, they come here to St. Augustine and do a 3-day orientation where they come to see how we live, work, and pray firsthand. And after that, they enter if all goes well.
I love it. Well, you know, again, we'll give the phone number. It's 904-377-5425. The website, hopereborn.org. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you today, and maybe you've got capacity as well. Put a plug in for your organization. I know you live on Providence. God is a God of Providence, and He will provide. I know you probably have many stories to share. I'd love to hear them another time. But the Chinacola, its focus is on faith, work, and friendship. And its structure includes everything from prayers and chores to recreational activities to to a prayer life, you know, and the fruit of it's off the charts. Sean, Elaine, thank you for being with us today. I only have about 1 minute left. Let me give one of you the final thoughts, whoever wants to take that.
Well, we thank you for the work you're doing and also for putting a plug in for us because, again, we don't go out and advertise.
No.
This is by word of mouth 100%. Yeah. So we rely on people like you and your listeners to really spread the good work that we're doing here at Communitas Chinacolo. So we are here to help. Yeah. There is a way out of addiction, and we have literally thousands of witnesses that can testify to that. So again, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We really do.
Sean, Elaine, thank you for the work you're doing. I had to be the Holy Spirit, because to be honest with you, I don't even know why I decided to do this topic. But something was put on my heart, and I think there's people listening now. There's certain individuals whose lives will be forever changed because we did this today. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. We're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy right now. I'll pray for your work. If you want to join us for the Chaplet, I think there's only a line or two open. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.